Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello.
Hey, my goodness. Here we are. Big shout out to Christian Television Network audience around the nation and around the world, our radio audience, and the Gulf Coast.
Yes.
Every day, Monday through Friday, 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. We're so honored to be there with our sponsors and our partners in your living room every single weekday. And so make sure you catch us there. If you don't catch us on the radio, we're going to be in your living room talking to you, hopefully giving you a light perspective. Gratitude is so important. As a matter of fact, as you're looking right now, there, think about Moses' tabernacle. This is when God began to set up a way for us to be able to, mankind, to be able to meet with him. And this is called the Tent of Meetings. And God would just show up in this Tent of Meetings. And but there was a way, there was a protocol of approaching him. And as you can see right here in this artist's drawing, you see we're on the left side of your television screen right there, the little light that's kind of coming out the side of the gate right there. You see on the outside of that fenced-in area, that's a gate. And God talks about when you're going to come into this gate, what you would do, you would go in there, come through that gate, and right there where you see this burning thing, that's called a brazen altar, and they would bring their sacrifice, and they would lay their sacrifice, and they would do several things right there, because there had to be a sacrifice, the shedding of blood for sin, to cover sin. But then, and they would progress their way all the way into, you see that smaller, the tent inside of that fenced-in area, and that's where God would come. You see that big holy fire coming down into the tent. God would come and meet with men. It was powerful. But this is prior to Jesus, you know, coming and living amongst us and paying the price for us. And so now this tabernacle is inside of you. You know, God tabernacles with you. Know ye not that you're the temple, the tabernacle of God. And but yet the protocol doesn't change. And this is what he says. He says in Psalms 104, he says, enter his gates, and that's the gate that we're talking about right there. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise him. So I just want to encourage you, when you begin to abide each day with God, and if you don't know how to do that or have a plan to do it, we have a plan for you at iabide.org. Begin with gratitude. Yeah, you got huge needs, and God sees your trouble, and he knows what you have need of before you even ask. But just pause for a moment and be grateful to God. Think about it. You'll be surprised. The enemy tries to flood you over with troubles and disasters, and it causes you, he tries to get you to forget the goodness of God in the land of the living that you don't even realize. I mean, he's just making you focus on the fire at your feet instead of the blessing that's in your hands. And so when you have a practice of being grateful, you start seeing God in your day-to-day life. I mean, he's in your day-to-day life. I mean, Acts chapter 17 tells us he's right there beside you all the time. But we have to consciously make an effort to acknowledge him and be grateful how he is in our life. And so the first thing we do when we enter into our abiding time with God, you know, pull out your journal and write the word gratitude down. And just pause and just say, God, what am I grateful for you? We're not talking about just, I'm grateful for a raise, I'm grateful for this food. I'm specifically putting God in the paradigm of your understanding of gratitude. Seeing in your heart God providing you that food. Seeing God bringing that healing to your family. Seeing God sustain your marriage. Seeing God just do what he does. I mean, answer his prayer and all the things that he does and just things that you see take place. And write that down. Write down and say, write specifically down, you know, God, I'm so grateful for how you know, provided this week for my family and met all of our needs. And you write that down. You're right, being grateful. And you think there's other things. So, you know, sometimes I abide with God and I spend maybe 2 or 3 pages in a small journal, you know, like this. And I write down I'm just so grateful. It's like, wow, you did this and you did this. But there was times in my life that there were so many negative things come on my way and I didn't grasp gratitude, that the enemy had me focusing all this negative stuff. And now like, I got just tons of positive things that God has done. I'm able to acknowledge him in my life. And it makes me think about Romans chapter 1, verse 21, that you know, when you're approaching God without gratitude and acknowledging he's the one that's sustaining your life, and one way we do that is by giving God our first fruits. He says that these folks, he says in Romans chapter 1, verse 21, the word of God says, for although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God or gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts became darkened. And so what you're seeing here is that there's a darkness that comes over our life when you just get sad, you get depressed, you know, you're not joyful anymore. And then what happens is, because to be grateful to God, you have to first acknowledge him. So when you're being grateful, what comes with that is acknowledgement. So not being grateful means we don't acknowledge. They come together, one and the same. These guys failed to acknowledge God or to be grateful to God. So God turns them over. That's literally a judgment that comes on a people, on a nation for not being grateful. And it's so exciting when you think about it. It's like, man, I'm going to begin my day with gratitude. I'm going to begin it with gratitude. I think about Psalms 107:1 when he says, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good and his mercy endures forever. That alone, you know, you can be grateful for the mercies of God, his new morning mercies. They're new every morning. And mercy is not getting what we deserve. He says, this is what he says in his word. He does not treat us as our sins deserve. Is that not cool?
Yeah.
He will not be angry forever. Isn't that wonderful? That means if we're going through something because we deserve it, that God's not going to, we're not going to go through that forever. And it's not at the intensity that we really deserve. It's a loving father, you know, disciplining those that he loves. In Psalms 118, 24, it says, this is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And when you're writing down gratitude, you think, you know, thank you for today. Thank you for, you know, my health. Thank you for my family. Thank you for a car. I mean, thank you for, you know, all these different things that he's done. Psalms 136, 1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good and his mercy endures forever. I mean, over and over again, Ephesians 1:16, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you always in my prayer. 5:20, he says, Ephesians 5:20, give thanks always for all things to God and the Father in the name of Jesus Christ. I mean, everything's about gratitude and thankfulness, you know. And it says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, and this is the clincher here, he says, in everything, because sometimes we give ourselves permissions not to be grateful because some things are not going right. But he says, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I mean, think about that. And so pause for a moment, because there's five aspects to abiding that we talk about. The first one is gratitude. You enter his gates with gratitude, being grateful. Children, let me give you a secret to really bless your parents' hearts. Walk in, and you got to really mean it. You can't be flattering. But walk into your parents' home, you know, walk at the dinner table and look at your parents as you sit at the table and say, dear mom, dad, I just want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for giving me a place to live and a bed to sleep in and this fine meal that you went out and worked for. I'm just grateful that you've done this for us and allow cool air to blow over our skin from this fan or this air conditioner and, you know, a clean home and a way. Just thank you so much, dear father and mother. I mean, if you really mean that, your parents are just going to gush with a response back to you, and they're going to feel good about providing for you. But if you're ungrateful, then because your parents love you, they're going to continue to provide for you, but it's not going to be a good experience. Mm-hmm. You know, they're ungrateful. Blah, blah, blah. Well, that's what you think about God. Here we are. He's providing for us on a daily basis. And if we're not grateful, we're not showing up going, Father, I'm grateful for how you gave Jesus Christ for me to have a relationship with you. Jesus, I'm grateful for you laying down your life for me, paying the price for my sin. Jesus, I'm grateful that you made a way for me to be in relationship with the Father and for my sins to be remembered no more. I'm grateful. I'm grateful for everything that you've brought me through. And I'm just grateful that I can trust you for today. And I'm grateful that I can abide with you, that I can commune with the living God. I mean, think about that. I can commune with the living God and live with him forever, that I have the surety that I will be with God forever in eternity, from everlasting to everlasting. I am grateful. And if every American, let me tell you something, for those that are listening to us and watching us in America, I'm out. Too much is given, much is expected. What Americans should be is grateful, because our poorest person in America is richer than 70, 75% of the world, with the top 3% of the income of the world. Mm-hmm. We should be grateful. It's time for us to, you know, to spend our time with God. Let's enter his gates with gratitude. Just like you're seeing up here in this Moses' tabernacle. Yeah, you're going to offer your petitions. Yeah, you're going to meditate on the word. Yeah, you're going to do these other things. But the first thing you want to do when you sit down with him is pull out your journal and write down the word gratitude and say, what am I grateful to you, God, for? And then write that down, and you'll be blessed. You'll be surprised how your life will change. You've got to, if you didn't hear, you got to catch abiding about a gratitude and abiding, how important that is, because, man, your life will change when you start being grateful. There's so many people to line up to tell you things not to be grateful for. Mm-hmm. I mean, they just like, this is my job to tell you why they don't fit, why it's not going to work, why you don't have enough. It's just like, care tell is not her. That I perish. And we're so blessed in America. This is how blessed we are. People spend their entire life nitpicking at people who are trying to go forward. Hmm. You know what I'm saying? It's like, when you live in an oppressive society that everybody's got to go together or you die. Mm-hmm. You can't do that. But we're so blessed. There's people that spend their whole life telling you that you don't measure up and it doesn't work. It's not going to fit. Mm-hmm. And you get excited about something you're talking about. You know, they're so-and-so guy healed. Yeah, but they're still kind of leaning a bit. And it's just like, really? Is that what you're... And that's a blessed land. When you can be that ignorant and you can live your whole life and you never invest in positiveness, you never invest in hopefulness. I mean, you made it this long, you still eat. You still got shelter, and you've been such a jerk for so long. I mean, think about it. That's a blessed land when you can do that, because the truth is, as the church, we have to operate by confidence, by faith, by surety and certainty. And, you know, that is just a weird paradigm to see somebody that can last that long by not even celebrating everything that God's doing. I mean, it's amazing. I've seen people, you know, with a paycheck in their hand, you know, complaining that it's not enough. It's like, you got a paycheck in your hand,
that's right,
and God's watching you complain. What are you doing? I mean, you got a paycheck in your hand and you're complaining as you get in your car with four wheels and a motor with 300 horses worth of power to pull you down the road. Mm-hmm. It's amazing with your, you know, cappuccino frappo or whatever in your hand. I mean, we got to begin to be grateful. So I encourage you that, you know, begin to just say, God, challenge me. All I do in my abiding time this week is every day I'm going to write down the word gratitude, and I'm going to have a gratitude. Every one of my prayer journals is going to have gratitude first, my abiding journal. You'd be surprised how things change. Hmm. It's totally amazing.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Talking with your spouse about holiday finances can be stressful. With Focus on the Family Minute, I'm John Fuller. Bethany Palmer shares about the importance of discovering your money personalities and then analyzing previous money fights.
Then one of the things that you can do is talk about the last holiday season, because now you have a perspective. So you can look back at the last argument that you had and identify where the conflicts came in with purpose. Instead of just saying, well, we're just going to go into this new holiday season and everything's going to be different because we know our money personalities. No, you've got to take some time and review the past and say, oh, that's what you meant. You didn't mean that you wanted to go crazy with shopping. You just wanted to make sure that everybody was taken care of. Okay, I get that.
Understanding your spouse's view of money is important for holiday harmony. You can hear more from the Palmers today at focusonthefamily.com/radio.
We are so excited about being able to encourage you, to be able to encourage you here on your journey. Think about it. Keeping the conversation light. That's what he commanded us. And that's one of the original words the Lord spoke over us, is that, and he speaks over all of us, but in regards to why are we doing what we're doing, he says, because he said, go be the light of the world. Mm-hmm. You have to understand that in this dark world, that it's dark. And so if we're light, if you're talking about the word of God and the ways of God, I mean, it may be rough at first because there's a lot of darkness, right. But you're actually bringing light into that area. Mm-hmm. It makes me think of, you know, Rick Joyner and the vision mm-hmm. about that sword. And when you're waving the truth around the air, it just changes the atmosphere. Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. If you want to change your atmosphere, I want to encourage you, begin to listen. It's 24/7. 24/7 to VFN Radio. Go to VFNTV.com and find out all the ways that you can get us. You can watch us on Christian Television Network around the nation and around the world. But listen, you need in your workplace and your home, just let it play and just let the light come in there. But why have all that prognostication and darkness constantly coming your way?
That's right. We have another way how you can stay connected with VFN Radio. It's called the Torch Newsletter. Every week, the Torch Newsletter goes out. And in the newsletter, you're going to get the best of the best of VFN Radio for that week. You're also going to get all the VFN Radio highlights emailed directly into your inbox. So whether you want to listen on your phone, whether you get your emails on your tablet, or whether you get it on your home PC, you will have access to that week's VFN Radio highlights. Go to VFNTV.com and select newsletter sign up. Or text VFNTV at 22828. Again, text VFNTV at 22828 and type in your email address. Sign up for the Torch Newsletter now.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
This abiding moment, I wanted to share about, you know, living a surrendered life. You know, today, many people, Pat, they focus much of their attention on what others are writing about God's word than God, you know, God's word. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, books are cool and everything, but I mean, it comes to a point where we need to focus on not only the Bible, but it would do as well to focus on the words in red, you know, Jesus's words, the words in red. And as I look at the landscape, you know, of our culture and the church, I see how much of the culture has infiltrated the church rather than the church really infiltrating, you know, the culture. Mm-hmm. And it's very clear that the church, God's family, the body of Christ is not to be like the world or even a subculture, but instead a counterculture, a culture that is completely opposite of the world. And the more I read the word of God, and particularly Jesus' own words, I can't help to notice several things. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You know, when you're just abiding and you're just soaking and you're meditating on Jesus, And the things that Jesus did and how he lived his life and how he was a man, fully God, so humble, so obedient to the Father's desires. And he did and said nothing outside of what his Father instructed him to do. And so, you know, why is this important today? Why do we need to focus and bring things back? Listen, I mean, we're living in some serious times, and there's never been in all of history, there's never been a time where there has been so much Christian literature that's been available. I mean, I remember when I first gave my life to the Lord, maybe, I don't know, 18, 19 years ago, I wasn't aware of so many, you know, books and mm-hmm. teachings and videos and audios. And I mean, there wasn't that much. And, mm-hmm. and today, there are books and all sorts of resources, yet you don't see that direct impact in the lives of many believers. You would think that with more, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
With more information, if you will, more helps, it would produce a deeper call, a deeper committed church that's totally sold out and surrendered to God. Mm-hmm. I personally have not seen that. And What I have been seeing is a watering down of the gospel. Mm-hmm. It's become more and more diluted. I mean, Jesus said himself, Pat, that salt is good, But if it loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again?
Right.
It's at that point worthless and just kind of throw it out. And it's like, man, this, you know, the gospel here is getting watered down. Mm-hmm. Where is the commitment? Where is the sold out, you know, allegiance? And what we've seen in our culture is things that are completely different than what we've seen at the time, even with Jesus, even with the disciples, even in the early church. I mean, we have to get a grip and understand that Jesus didn't come so that we can be more comfortable, you know. We do live in America, but that's not why Jesus came. He didn't come to start a cute religion,
right.
You know. He didn't come to start a way of life. And these are things that you hear people. I just like good old Christian values. I like. Well, listen, that's a byproduct of who God is. You know, we're gonna have values, and things are gonna truths and values are gonna come as a result.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't come for all that. So he didn't come so that we can come together once a week and have a nice couple of songs and a little sermonette and you know, a rah-rah sis kumbah pep rally type of thing and then go back to our lives. And he didn't come to give us an upgrade, a better life. He came to give us life. He brought such a major shift into the world, into our existence, and he came so that every single person can accept him and his finished work on the cross, you know, and to receive him as Lord and Savior, you know. And I talk about this often because I just can't escape where I see it everywhere I go. I can't escape the reality of people just wanting to just water down the gospel and saying that you can put on Jesus like you can put on a jacket, or you can try him out, or, you know, these are good principles. And it's like, look, Jesus came to take over.
That's right.
He came to be the king of our hearts. I mean, we talk about, you know, being we hear a catchphrase that's been around in the news a lot, you know, a transformational person, a transformational, you know, agenda. Listen, Jesus was truly and still is the most transformational figure who has ever walked the face of this earth.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not someone that you can actually be passive about. You know what I mean? You can't be on a passive about the Lord. You're going to be on one side or the other. And he just didn't come and die for our sins so that, again, we can have a better life. He came so that we can have life. But we must make it clear with our own personal lives for all to see that Jesus is worthy of us giving him our entire life. That's so important.
Mm-hmm.
That's so important because if you don't give God your entire, what are you giving him? You know what I mean? And mm-hmm. This is what he requires. Everything. And coming to Jesus is not about saying a nice prayer or going to quote-unquote church. It's about following God and loving him with all of your mind, with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your strength. Listen, that's not radical Christianity. That's normal Christianity. It's normal. It's normal for Jesus to be the first thing you think about when you wake up in the morning, before your feet even hit the floor. It is normal that when you lay your head to bed, the Lord is the last person on your mind. It's normal to go to bed with thinking about scriptures and meditating throughout the day with the word of the Lord on your heart. It's normal to have to be stirred in your spirit with worship and just praying and wanting to share Jesus with people you come in contact with. That's normal.
Mm-hmm.
That's not radical. But have we been infiltrated? Has the church been infiltrated by the world? Jesus is looking for sold out lovers of God.
That's right.
I mean, plain and simple, sold out lovers for God. And these are Jesus' own words to his disciples. Because, you know, there's a lot of people that came around and started hanging around the Lord, you know, and said, this is amazing. And look at the miracles and look at the signs and looking, you know, at the wonders. And it's amazing. People, you know, they'll come, they want to get blessed. They want to see miracles. They want to see what God can do for them. But then Jesus begins to speak very clearly, and he starts speaking to the disciples, and it's basically like, you know, let's not get this twisted. Let me explain to you what this is all about here, right. Okay? And he begins in Matthew 16:24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone would come after me, I just want to make it plain to you guys. If you want to walk this walk and go on this journey with me, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself. I mean, it's not even like a suggestion. It's not like, you know, you may want to. Jesus, right from the onset, right from the giddy up here, okay? He's saying, look, the way to me is you must deny yourself. And is that something that's even heard of today? But you tell anyone right. to deny themselves and it's like, you know, oh my goodness, don't say that. Say anything but that. But Jesus says, you got to deny yourself. Yeah. You got to take up your cross, you know, come to me, come to the place of no return, right? Mm-hmm. Get on this cross and follow me. These are probably the most overlooked instructions that Jesus has given. They're just most ignored or overlooked. The call to follow Jesus means that we are completely surrendered to him. He's not just Savior. He's not, you know, lucky rabbit's foot. He's not a good charm. He's not a better way of life. He's not about 25 principles to a better us. It's about right. a total radical commitment to this loving Savior who's actually rescued us from the pit of hell, mm-hmm. from bondage, from darkness. And, you know, I'm always encouraged when I hear people's testimonies, Pat, about what God has done for them, mm-hmm. you know, and sometimes the enemy would try to tempt believers to be ashamed of where they came from or not to bring that up or to think that they're so far removed from that. You know, that's when I didn't know God and I was a heathen or a sinner. It's like, come on, man. If Jesus took one finger off of us, does God just, he just let us alone for a minute, would it be so, I would be so back in that pile of just junk.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it part of just loving is to take time to remember, where did God bring you from? What depths did he bring you from? You can't help but feel a gratitude and indebtedness. Mm-hmm. Today, believers are acting like they're doing God a favor by showing up.
Right.
You know, today they act like they're doing God a favor by tipping God and not bringing him honor. You know, listen. Tithes, offerings, this is not about, God does not need our money. But it's completely and totally a heart issue.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a telltale sign. I mean, it's that's like right. catch a clue. These are simple, minor things. These are simple, minor things. But when God has our heart, he has everything. We don't, you know, by the way, you know, God requires 100%. You know what I mean? He requires everything. He just, you know, we give him 10%, but right. I mean,
he lets us keep the other 90.
Exactly. Exactly. And by the way, you're not limited to 10%, by the way, you can give as much as your heart desires,
that's right.
but you're not limited, but it's about showing God honor. And so denying ourselves is really the first step. You know, I remember when the Lord made this plain to me this is something I've read so over and over and over again, because I want to follow hard after him, you know, mm-hmm. and I've looked at my life and times I've slipped and it's like, Lord, I want to stay on this path, you know, and you can, it's been 19 years I've been following the Lord. You can,
that's right.
you can run hard after God and you can fan the flame in your heart. But oftentimes what gets in the way of going deeper in the things of God is you.
Right.
You know, you've got to deny yourself. You've got to be selfless in terms of the Lord. I mean, selflessness begins to open the door. It opens the door to living this life where God can begin to move in you and through you.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're not selfless, you haven't even begun the journey.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to deny yourself. The second thing is you got to take up your cross. Jesus is saying, listen, come to live a crucified life. This isn't about your dreams, your desires, any of this stuff. It's about you coming to the Lord and surrendering your life to him, and then he will direct you. He will guide you. He will instruct you. when you give them your heart, then you're just happy to do whatever it is the Lord has before you to do. And then the last thing he says, now you can follow me.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're ready. Now you can come on this journey. And many people are struggling in their walk with God, Pat, today. They're struggling because they've tried to bypass the first two steps and say, well, I'm following God. It's like, look, you can't follow God and follow yourself, too. It's not going to work.
Right.
You know, that's you're going to be in a constant state of turmoil, of frustration, and you're just fooling yourself. You got to come to the cross and be completely surrendered. And then in verse 25, this is what Jesus says. And he says, for whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will find it. Now, Jesus is saying this to Peter because, you know, and to the rest of the disciples there, because just before this, Peter's telling Jesus, hey, you can't go to Jerusalem. You can't do this.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus looks directly in Peter and says, hey, look, get behind me, Satan, for you don't have the things of God on your mind. You have the things of man on your mind.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like Peter was trying to help Jesus to preserve his life. And is like, don't you understand? This is why I came. This is why I came. And God, you know, he has given us an example. He's given us an example for us to follow. You know, I love my brothers in the Lord and the family of God that the Lord's connected me with. It's, you know, oftentimes we're always talking about our relationship with God and what God is saying and how God is challenging us. And so that's always on our heartbeat. And I love that. I love being a part of the community and the body of Christ that really wants to follow hard after the heartbeat of God. You know, I'm challenging myself. Me and Pat were talking even during the break that, you know, I don't want to talk about anything else. I want to talk about Jesus. I want to be his heartbeat. I want to hear what other people are saying and what God's saying to them, rather, you know, about what's going on and how they're being challenged and how we can live a more surrendered life and looking for more ways to be grateful. And Jesus is telling the disciples, you know, straight up, hey, listen, if anyone's going to come after me, you got to do a couple things here. You've got to deny yourself. You got to take up your cross. And then you can come and follow me. And I think a lot of people are struggling today with their walk because they're trying to follow a God that they haven't surrendered their life to. And the issue is you got to surrender. Listen, Jesus said, for whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will find it. And in verse 26, he says, what good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world, Pat, and yet he forfeits his own soul?
Mm-hmm.
When you really think about the magnitude of Jesus' words, it's good to pause, you know, and reflect mm-hmm. a little bit here, you know?
Right.
Gain the whole world. That's all of the money, all of the houses, all of the real estate, all of the toys and things that people chase after. You can gain all of that. I mean, really, at a certain point, how many houses can you live in at one time?
Hello?
How many shoes can you wear at one time? But we won't even go there, okay? I mean, how many cars can you drive? How many, you know, give me, how many vacations and trips can you be? At a certain point, does it really become a vacation when every 3 months you're going somewhere? I mean, a mm-hmm. vacation is a rest from doing work, but if your job is resting every day,
right.
I mean, at what point is it enough?
Right.
And then he says, you know, what good will it be if you do that? And then he says, oh, what can a man give in exchange for his soul? I mean, what can you give in an exchange? What can it be worthy enough for you to exchange for eternity? And all we have to do is just look at what's happening in the world around us. When you look at just one person, Steve Jobs, this man has done things in the world that very few people could ever do. He revolutionized at least three major industries: the movie industry with Pixar, the music world with iTunes, and the phone. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, just with the iPhone. I mean, that's major stuff. His products revolutionize how we listen to music, how mm-hmm. we view things, how we use smartphone technologies.
Right.
And yet, Pat, with all those billions of dollars, all those amazing inventions, I mean, when you're worth billions of dollars, I would dare say you could get the best medical attention in the world.
You would think. That's right.
But yet all of that money, all of that favor, all of that access to anything
right.
that could be produced on earth still could not buy his health or could guarantee him the future of his soul.
That's right.
And so the thing is that we have to pause here. You know, I've spoken to so many people on their deathbeds, and I've preached a ton of funerals, and I've been to a ton of funerals, and it's so sobering when the person's life is coming to the end. I mean, we talked about on a previous program how time is like sand in an hourglass, and the day we, you know, God knows the day we're born, He knows the day we're going to pass away, but what lies in the middle are just seconds, they're moments. And how the average person spends 37 minutes a day on Facebook and social media in a month at 17 hours. It's like, what are we doing? What are we doing? Mm-hmm. And it's time. And I'm talking to the church. I'm talking for those of us that love the Lord. Are we where we want to be? Are we following and pursuing God? Or are we trying to put God in our comfortable American culture, our comfortable American box? Are we distracted by every shiny object that comes our way?
Right.
Oh, distraction. I started out the race good, but then I got distracted here and I got distracted there. And it's like, I got to start back up again, so to speak. It's like, well, come on. Are we going to stay on the path, or are we going to be pulled away by every shiny object that comes our way? Mm-hmm. Or are we going to live a life devoted to the Lord? And so I want to encourage you as we share more about this and talk about a surrendered life. You know, hopefully we'll have time to talk about Chinese believers and Christians and what's happening in their life and how they're so committed to running hard after the Lord. Jesus has given us this formula. He's told us what to do. He said, listen, deny yourself. Pick up your cross. Beloved, I'm inviting you to walk with me and follow with me. And if you lose your life, this thing you think is so important, I will give you a better life than you could ever dream of. Jesus has so much more for you, but it comes at the foot of the cross. Let's lay our lives down for Him. He's already done it for us.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
I want to continue talking about the kingdom of God. He says when you're born again, the very first thing you do is seek first the kingdom of God. You know, and that's the king's dominion in your life, taking over parts of your life. And then when he tells us to go out, he tells us all to go out. It's not you don't pray if you should go. You need to pray if you should stay. And by the way, I can tell you what he's probably going to say right now.
Yeah.
Because think about it. He allowed the church, the original church, the original intent of God in Jerusalem, because we have a tendency. We all have a tendency as human beings. We just kind of gravitate towards comfort and convenience and predictability and what makes our flesh feel good. And the church is kind of hung around in Jerusalem. You know, they hung around in Jerusalem. And it's like, well, the goal, the original intent of Jesus is to go out into all the world. You know, Jerusalem, Judea. Hello, is anybody talking about Judea, right? I don't like Judea out there. I like Jerusalem. You know, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts. And so in that, you know, they just kept staying. And so God allowed persecution to come to the church. And how you know he allowed it is because they ran the church off, but for some reason they didn't run the apostles off. So the apostles still stayed in Jerusalem. If you're going to try to stop a nation, if you're going to try to stop something, you're going to go for the leadership. But the apostles stayed in Jerusalem. And remember when Paul went back, he went back to the Christian Jews in Jerusalem and asked for wisdom about what's happening out in the outskirts and what was going on in the Samaria and the uttermost parts. And that, I mean, they had to be persecuted, Pat. They had to be persecuted to go out. I mean, that's how much God's into going out and spreading his kingdom. He says that when you go, when I send you out, I want you to preach the kingdom of God and preach that the kingdom is near you. And when they receive Jesus as their king, as their Lord, as their Savior, and they say, which means I want him to be the Lord of my life, then at that point, the kingdom has expanded. It didn't expand when you built a wing on your building. It didn't expand when you actually got a new staff member. Mm-hmm. It didn't expand when, you know, you read more scripture that day. It expanded when you told somebody about the king and they said, oh my goodness. And they say, I know. And they receive him. And then the kingdom expanded from your heart to their heart. And now both of you guys are carrying the kingdom of God. We're like kingdom containers. Mm-hmm. That's the original intent. The original intent is for everybody to hear, everybody to be given an opportunity to receive the king and his kingdom and to begin to seek his kingdom. And then we're out of here because our king is coming back, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we're going to live with him forever. And if you're thinking it's about a building, if you're thinking it's about a stuff or the next song or your talent, you know, or your gift, listen, it's about you going to tell somebody about this King Jesus, that he loves them and he has a plan for their life and that he can forgive them and he can restore them and that there's hope. And understanding that you need to seek his ways. And I'm going to encourage you, even though that you've been around, you know, the church for many years, you know, you've been around other believers, you may need to go back and find out the original intent. You need to get discipled. Right. You need to get discipled. You need to begin to abide with God. And you can do that. You can go to iAbide and request a free plan. We have a simple plan for you. If you don't have one already, go to iAbide.org and request it. Immediately, it will come to you. And we have some basic foundational tools for you. First of all, you can just start hanging out with God and abiding. We have a video how to do it, you know, real simple. But then there's also discipleship. There's some Foundations of Faith booklets that you can get that begins to build. Because you've been around for a long time, you think you're supposed to know something. But there's people that graduated from high school that couldn't even read. Mm-hmm. So just because they went to high school don't mean they have an education. Just because you've been hanging around the church doesn't mean you've been discipled. And we're finding out over the years that people have hung around for years but don't even know the basic Jesus as Lord. Mm-hmm. And so be willing to say, you know what? I'm going to go back and get the foundation again because I have not even thought about going out and advancing the kingdom of God. I never thought about rightly relating that I am the church and that I need to go be the church and that the word of God applies to me and not just to a building organization or that type of thing. So I want to encourage you, the kingdom of God, looking at the original intent of the church.
Here we are. Yes, VFN TV, the daily radio program, a network that God is building through your gifts. Amazing thing, because it can't be built by human hands. Things that God does cannot be built by human hands. So make sure that you join in and just offer up at VFNTV.com and sponsor and become an underwriter today. Listen, we are shining the light, keeping the conversation light on all who want to be in the light, who listen, our audience. That's right. VFNTV and the daily radio program, a network that God is building through your love gift. Sponsor today, partner today, become an underwriter. Go to VFNTV.com and follow the prompts.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
We're talking about living a surrendered life and how important that is. I mean, you know, a surrendered life to the Lord is actually having a real life, you know. But at the end of the day, when we count all of our minutes and all of our time and there's an actual inventory and accountability for how we spend our time, listen, I want to have invested time, Pat. I want to make sure that the ledgers look really good, that, you know, I've spent time with him. And when I see him, I don't want him to like, do I know, you know what I mean? I want us to continue our conversation right where we left off. And we were just talking about how important that is to fully surrender 100% of our lives. And I think about our brothers and our sisters in China and the committed life that they have. You know, China obviously is a communist country. They don't have the freedoms that we have in our country, the United States, and yet their walk with God, Pat, is just fire, committed.
It's amazing.
And we want you to listen to the testimony, a brief testimony, about a few minutes, where Glenn Beck is interviewing a woman who has helped save countless Christians from Chinese labor camps, and a little bit of her story and what she was able to overcome. You got to listen to this. Listen up.
And how much longer? How long were you in prison?
2 months.
Was the address book still there?
Actually, not. At that time, it happened. My brother visited us. they took my brother with us and keep him in detention center for more than 24 hours.
Bob,
and they keep me and my brother in one room. Before they let my brother go, I told my brother, yeah, get the address book out of my house.
You, you know, last time you were here, we talked about things that I don't think Americans even think about in China. You know, we just, well, it's just China and, oh, well. It is really a horrific, horrific system that, America and the rest of the world just turns a blind eye to. Mm-hmm. She's in prison. I can't imagine what you're thinking is happening to your wife while she is in prison. And then you come here. You were just with Congress, what, 2 weeks ago?
Just last week.
Just last week. Mm-hmm. And begged, please, let me get to the White House, talk to the president, and have him release some political prisoners.
Yeah, like Lisa's dad and many others. Yeah.
And what happened?
Well, I was told that the White House basically declined and said no.
Well, why do you think that is?
I think it's a kind of a mentality of appeasement to the dictators and maybe act as out of fear of China's retaliation. You know, China, or we allow China to buy so much national debts or bonds, mm-hmm. And we become slaves. Mm-hmm. And I think the kind of a mentality that at least the current administration, well, we own China now, and you know, we cannot really have the courage to stand up on the human rights issue.
You guys are still working to free people in China.
Yes.
You still travel back, don't you? Do you travel back in or not?
Not.
No.
Now.
Would none of you guys would get out? Would you?
I was told it could be a one-way ticket for me, and although Heidi was able to travel back twice in the past.
Do you see any place in the world that is standing up and saying, this is wrong? Do you see any country that's holding up the banner of real freedom?
Yeah, I mean, China has jailed really many more prisoners of conscience than the numbers combined, by mm-hmm. any all other countries combined, and we have just you know, this week there will be a major political trial for a number of political prisoners for simply putting up a banner of saying, you know, Communist Party leaders, and disclose your property and disclose your wealth.
Wow.
And post it online, and they're all arrested. And so, I mean, you have house church leaders are sitting in the cold prison and sentenced to 15 years.
All right.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
You know, I tell you what.
What?
I gotta tell you this.
What?
I gotta tell you this. I am just totally, you know, I'm not a gardener.
Mm.
I'm not a carpenter.
No.
I'm not a painter.
No.
Well, that's too busy. We'll go to that list. What am I? I used to be something. No, anyway, so
we'll get back with you.
We'll get back with you on that.
One.
Yeah, right. So I planted some trees. Had some trees planted.
You planted trees?
You did?
Well, I had some trees planted.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Well, I did plant a tree in the past. Couple trees.
Well, I remember that tree.
And they're nowhere around today.
Right.
It took a lot of energy and effort. And it's like, you know, I don't plant trees. Mm. So I actually had, I had someone come.
Stick with what you can do.
And plant
good.
Some
That's
trees.
Good.
Well, I told them, here's one. I need one here. And I need one here. And I need one more, but I didn't get it.
And so we have these trees that are beginning to grow, and they say, you know, wait 30 days before, you know, water them. Mm-hmm. And needless to say, I shouldn't even put water on them because water has come from the sky ever since they've been in the ground.
No doubt.
Thank God they're river birches. They can handle the water.
They can handle the water.
Okay. Okay.
I think. Anyway, so I'm looking at my trees. I had a moment to kind of look at them, and I'm thinking, one of my branches... One of my branches broke on the brand new tree.
Oh.
I'm like, is there a warranty on this thing?
You better get some duct tape.
Is there a warranty on this thing? And so I'm thinking, that is something. So I am focused, man. I am focused because I'm not a gardener either.
All right.
I had to go dig through a toolbox and I found a pair of wire cutters. Is something like supposed to prune or something like that?
That poor tree. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I know. Oh. It was looking at me coming, I'm sure. And so I'm going out there, you know, just taking a quick moment to go remove this broken limb from this tree.
Poor tree.
I know. I'm just thinking, this is just
like eating a potato with a butter knife.
I know. And it was obviously, it was pretty thick. And it's, then, you know, of course, I'm pretty sure it was Max, my German Shepherd, that jumped up on this tree and because he likes to jump up close to it and probably pulled it down or something. He's a protector.
Pretty big dog.
Though. Yeah, he is.
He can jump.
He is, but I took the saddle off of him now, so he's kind of like
a little lighter.
And so, you know, I'm going out there and I'm focused on this broken limb and I'm reaching in there and I'm cutting that thing off. And then I start going, I'm thinking, not only am I upset with a broken limb, but I stepped in a pile of Max. Man,
oh,
I was standing in fertilizer, fresh fertilizer, man. I'm like, no, broken limbs, pile of poo, help me, get me out of who. Anyway.
That's not a pile. That's a mountain of poo.
I could tell that I was in it when I felt it on my knee. It's like,
it is the tree.
What are y'all thinking about? Jiminy crickets. I'm telling you. So then because I was no longer focused on the limbs. I was focused on the limb. I was rubbing my foot across the backyard, and what do you know?
Scrape.
I found some more. Needless to say, I'm going
to
leave.
Head to toe.
I don't trim trees either now. Ooh, I don't trim trees. And obviously, I don't do enough poo runs to be able to take care of that.
Pray for the lawn.
Let me tell you, a great occupation. This is a great occupation. If you're thinking about a good job, they may do it for a while, but if you show up and say, you know, for this amount of money a month, I will come and remove the poo from your yard. Hey, think about this. It's like a bit. Wouldn't that be a big job?
Huge.
Especially with my
dog. Especially in your yard.
Yeah, my dog. My dog. You know, your dog, it was like 15 to 16 times right before it matches Max.
Well, my dog, he's a big joker.
Yeah, it's just like, goodness, Max Rushmore. Well, anyway, getting back to more, I was talking about trees, and so my trees are growing. I trim the limbs down, and they are definitely, you know, I thought I needed to fertilize them, but it looks like Max is doing a really good job.
I see. Water and mountains.
Water and mountains, water and all that kind of wonderful stuff.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT. Light with your host, Greg Lancaster.
This is so amazing. When you're listening, you listen to Heidi and Bob Fu. Bob Fu is the president of China Aid, and you're hearing their story. This is happening today, Pat. This is the 20th century. This is not in 1800s here. Mm-hmm. We're talking about folks, believers that have been persecuted. I mean, Heidi has spent 2 months in prison, and just the sovereignty of God, she was able to get the little address book with all of the believers' names. You know, she was able to hide it where her brother was able to find it, and they were never able to get those Christians. Mm-hmm. But you know, the person that they had previously on the program was a woman by the name of Lisa Peng, and she shared her testimony where the last time she saw her father, Pat, was for her 7th birthday. And basically, he was called to provide a safe haven for persecuted Christians for these in Thailand.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, he was lured over to Burma and was later arrested. And he spent tons of time in prison. He had heart attacks. He had arthritis. He was malnourished. All the things that he suffered for. And I think about our brothers and sisters and their commitment to the Lord. And it's not just about them spurring us on and us comparing our lives to them. It's saying, look, we need to look at Jesus Christ himself and say that he's worthy. We need to have the full revelation of who God is and what he's done for us, and to live a life of gratitude, and to say that if we had 1,000 lives, we'd give him 1,000 lives, but we only have one. We only have one to give him, and to really to meditate on all that Jesus has done for us. He is worthy of that type of commitment, of a complete surrender and devotion. And I'm encouraged by their life. I'm encouraged by what they have endured. And I'm telling you that I feel that we're going to begin to see, even in this country, persecution like we've never seen it before. And what's going to help us to endure to the end is the knowing, our knowing of Jesus Christ, not intellectually, not in our minds, but knowing him because we've walked with him and we talked with him and we received his love and we've loved him back. Church, we can do it. We can do it. Let this be the year of radical surrender. Let this be the year that we say, Jesus, forgive me for ever holding anything back. I want to live only for your eyes and only to do your will. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless. You know, there's nothing more frustrating sometimes when you miss something that you wanted to be able to see, and something you couldn't record it, maybe you couldn't get to it. But you know what? Every weekend we're doing things around the yard, or we're doing things, some hobbies, or we're going out visiting people, or whatever it is. We're driving in our cars to different places. Did you know you can catch the entire week's program every weekend for 24 hours, starting at 9 a.m. Central Time, all the way to 9 a.m. Central Time Monday morning? It's called Marathon Weekend. It's that week's program playing back to back. Don't miss it.